some of the primary differences are the fact that the technology today is much better than it was just 5 or 10 years ago. And so the technology allows us to do things that we couldn't do. So think about all of the web applications, think about all of the smart devices, think about all of the mobility, and then think about securing those. So that's really a big change. I've been in the federal market for over 30 years. During that time, we've had many initiatives. The current initiative, though, I think is driven by the technology and its availability, the fact that so many of the technologies are available commercially, which sets expectations for the government customers, and then that turns into requirements for us as the contracting community. And really, the third area is the fact that the budgets are very tight. And when you have tight budgets, you're looking for ways to save money, and many of the new technologies allow you to reduce the cost of your current operation, and so taking advantage of those adds efficiency for the organization.
Let me touch upon each of those kind of areas maybe a little separately. Let me start with the technology piece. One of the things that you hear time and again is the government's always behind in technology. Oh, well, they're in the 1990s and everyone else is in the modern day. And I always find that a little circumspect because it also, that means the technologies that you as Lockheed Martin or whoever is providing are in the 1990s. And I think you would argue that that's definitely not the case. Is the technology change, the revolution, if you will, of mobility, of cloud, are you seeing that as a result of the commercialization piece, or is it just a sign of the times, as you talked about the budget imperatives, is really what's pressing that?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the technologies today are so pervasive that the government is finding ways to adopt those technologies. Back in the 90s, with the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, they issued in an era of IDIQ contracts. Now, many people didn't take advantage of those at the time because they didn't really understand them. Now, because the government has pressure on their budgets, they're issuing their work in smaller increments. And those smaller increments allow the government to buy things that are current now, that they can use now, and to get things under contract very quickly. You can be under contract in less than 30 days. If I think back to the 90s, it was more like 300 days. So it changes the nature of what we're doing, because now we're under contract very quickly, we can bring on current technologies, we can get them in place very quickly, the government can use them. They save money, they're more effective, and they're more efficient. So it's just good. It's a win-win for the contractors, the citizens, and the government.
You also mentioned the budget issues, but as it relates to agile or modular development, are you starting to see a change in the atmosphere within the contracting environment in terms of how agencies are putting RFPs out from a sense of both a budget standpoint and an agile standpoint?
I think both. I think that the very nature of task order contracting allows you to buy things incrementally. And so if you're buying things incrementally, you can, in fact, get them under contract faster, and you can deliver in spirals. That gives the contracting officers a tool.
But at the same time, task orders aren't new. As you said, they've been around for 20-plus years. And in fact, many people have said they've used task orders the wrong way. They've used them to do the waterfall effect or eat the elephant one bite, whatever metaphor you want to use. Are you seeing that agencies are now really taking that agile approach a little more seriously and using task orders to buy a piece and then buy another piece and then buy another piece? And what does that mean for you as Lockheed Martin, who you've maybe built your business off of the big, big contracts, now that you're bidding maybe piece by piece, or maybe you're waiting on that second piece to come and it may not come through, so that also affects the way you count revenue and all those other interesting things that you as a business person has to deal with?
What may surprise you, but Lockheed Martin has done task order contracts since the 90s, which is why I could talk about it with you. We have a very large percentage of our business is in the IDIQ world, and so we don't have a problem with the customer issuing things incrementally. We believe that as long as we deliver on the promise of performance, and as long as we deliver on their mission, that they will continue to issue task orders to us, and we'll get follow-on work.
But I guess the point I was trying to get to is task orders are not new, of course, but there's a difference between a task order that was $5 million and a task order that's $1 million, right. And then agencies are going to do $5 $1 million task orders versus the $1 $5 million task order. I think that's the is that a shift you're seeing, or are you still seeing maybe some agencies that do that $5 million task order and others that do, or it could be $10 million or $100 million task order, whatever the size is, or are you seeing them really seriously starting to break down, saying here's number one, and then number two, you should expect in 6 to 12 months, and that should be another million, and then number three in 6 to 12 months. Are you seeing that pattern more and more?
Well, every agency buys according to its strategic plan and its budget, and so there is no general rule for how agencies buy. I think what has changed, though, and I think that's what you're trying to get at, is that the commercialization of technology has set new expectations with the government buying community. And as a result of that, we have a new generation of CIOs who want to put the new technologies under contract.
Let me shift on you for just a second, specifically about the communications between industry and government. One of your competitors, IBM General Manager for Federal, Todd Ramsey, was on our station and talked about Mythbusters a little bit and said that Mythbusters was a great idea, just was not being acted out very well. Can you give me your sense on Mythbusters? Is it making a difference? Are you seeing a difference between the communication at the federal level between industry and government?
I guess I never really saw the problem. There was a brief period where government had a difficult time going to contractor sites and attending meetings with contractors, unless it was multiple contractors. But for the most part, I think the communication is very good and very transparent. More agencies are spending time doing industry days. They're spending time meeting with contractors to make sure that they're communicating their requirements. And they're spending time helping us understand where they want to go strategically. And so I guess I think the communication is pretty good.
Now, obviously, if you call somebody, they're going to answer your call, but Maybe your people lower down, are they getting their calls answered, or are they being told, well, no, wait till the industry day, or no, send me an email because I need to post your question online because I don't want to be seen as giving one person favorable responses compared to another? Do you hear that from maybe the people closer to the customer?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Actually, I think that as the customers try and move into these new technology areas, what we're seeing is just the opposite. We have a Insight Center. This is a small version of that. And it's full 4 days a week with customers coming in to talk about problems and solutions and working on collaborative ideas. And so from my perspective, the communication is pretty good.